The study this month is called, Oh, What a Savior. And tonight's message is a ransom for many, a ransom for many. Remember, this is the Easter month, resurrection month. Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, died on a cross on Calvary's Hill. He was buried, but 3 days later, he rose again. But before Jesus rose from the grave, he died. He laid down his life. And tonight's scripture is found in Matthew 20, verse 28. And it says this, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So we're going to read this in context. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 20 and start in verse 20, so it makes sense. "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked." This is Matthew 20, 21. "She said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.'" Interesting, isn't it? So the mother of these two sons came to Jesus. And it seems like a spirit of pride had entered Zebedee's sons, James and John. They wanted like greatness in the eyes of men. They wanted to be recognized. They wanted to be noticed. Would you agree? So Jesus replies in verse 22 of Matthew 20, "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" In other words, what was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that greatness comes with a price. The price of suffering, the cup of suffering. "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." So when the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. So now you've got the other ten disciples upset with these two disciples. So you had some infighting. You had some strife. And James talks about this in his epistle in James 4, verses 1 and 2. That where there is self-seeking, where there is pride, there is strife, and every evil thing. So they're all upset with each other. Jesus says in verse 25, "Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them.'" Now, what does the rulers of the Gentiles represent? The rulers of the Gentiles in modern day language represents the natural leaders of this world, such as presidents of nations or CEOs of corporations. And Jesus says that these rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. The word lord is exercise dominion. It's a heavy word. It's significant because it's like an unjust exercise of power. Jesus was saying that sometimes the rulers of the Gentiles, the natural rulers of this world, unjustly exercise their authority over the subjects. They may oppress them. They may subjugate them to slavery. If it's a CEO of a company, he may cause the workers to work too many hours. And these leaders, these natural leaders, they rule from a position of what? They rule from a position of power over their subjects. Their greatness is from a natural position of power. Is that making sense here tonight? And then Jesus says in verse 26, "Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave." What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying in the world system, natural leaders lead from a position of power. They've been placed in positions of power. Their greatness comes from positions of power, like the President of the United States. But he said, in the kingdom of God, it's different. He says that in the kingdom of God, your greatness comes from a position of servanthood. In the kingdom of God, your greatness comes from a position of servanthood. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, if you want to be great in the eyes of God, you have got to be a servant. We have got to be servants. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
And then Jesus pretty much said, I amongst you, I who am speaking with you, am the example. Verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. In other words, Jesus was saying what? Jesus was saying, I'm God the Son. I left the pomp and the splendor of heaven to come to a sin-riddled world. I came in humility. I was born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Let's talk about a ransom for many. What does the word ransom mean? The word ransom literally means a price paid for the redemption, for the setting free of captives. Let me say it again. The word ransom literally means a price paid for the redemption, for the setting free, deliverance of captives. What price did Jesus pay on Calvary's Hill? Jesus paid the price of His blood. Jesus paid the price of laying His life down. Captivity. You know, at one time, you may have been a captive to sin. And maybe tonight you're still a captive to the grip of sin. I don't know what you're dealing with. Only God knows what you're dealing with. Maybe you're looking at something you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe you're putting chemicals into your body you shouldn't be putting into your body. Maybe it's getting drunk. Maybe it's doing drugs. Maybe it's speaking four-letter words. You try to overcome these sins, but you slip back into them. And maybe you feel like you're a captive to some sin in your life. But Jesus came over 2,000 years ago. He shed His blood. He laid down His life so that what? Sin could break its grip over you. Could you say amen here tonight? He shed His blood so that you could be delivered from captivity to sin. But for the blood of Jesus to set you free from captivity to sin, you must do what? You must become what? In order for the blood of Jesus to set you free from captivity to sin, you must become a slave to what? No, you must become a slave to God. And so basically in Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about slavery to righteousness and slavery to sin. And he says this in Romans 6, verse 22. He says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, how do you become set free from captivity to sin? By becoming a slave to God. How do you become a slave to God? By surrendering to the authority of God over your life. You become a slave to God by submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. When you're about to sin, when you're about to indulge in some sinful activity, ask yourself, what would Jesus, my Lord and Savior, do? If that four-letter word wants to slip out of your mouth, think to yourself first, what would Jesus say? He wouldn't say a four-letter word. He would speak words of love and peace. Amen. If you want to get bitter against an offender, think first, what would Jesus do? He wouldn't get bitter. He would forgive. That's becoming a slave to God. Amen? Amen. Becoming a slave to God. You know, if you're tempted with alcohol or some type of drug, and before you take it, think to yourself, what would Jesus, my Lord and Savior, do? He wouldn't get drunk. He wouldn't do drugs. And if I'm His follower, neither should I. If I'm a slave to God, neither should I. And God will give you the strength to surrender to His authority. God will give you divine enablement to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. When you get weak, cry out to God. Say, God, you know, I've been dealing with the sin. I felt like I overcame it, but then I slipped back into it. God, I feel like I'm a captive to the sin. God, I pray that You give me Your strength to overcome it. And God will give you His divine empowerment. Amen?
Amen?
Just cry out to God. I guarantee that if you cry out to God in prayer sincerely from your heart, God will give you the strength to overcome that, the grip that that sin has over your life. Amen? Submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So number two, Jesus came as a ransom to pay the price for our deliverance from captivity to eternal death. He paid the price so that we could be set free from the grip of sin. And number two, he paid the price of laying down his life so that we could be set free from captivity to eternal death and damnation. Eternal death is what? Eternal death is separation from God forever. I can't imagine being separated from God's presence for a moment, let alone an eternity. Jesus came to set us free from eternal death. Is that good news? You know, no human being could satisfy the wrath of God against sin. You know, God is angry at sin. God is wrathful against sin. Sin deserves punishment. No human being could satisfy the wrath of God against sin. There's only one that could. His name is Jesus Christ, God the Son. In laying down his life and shedding his blood, he was the only one that could satisfy the wrath of Almighty God against sin. He died in our place so that we would not have to die in hell. Remember this, Jesus was born for one reason. Jesus was born to die so that we would not have to die eternally in hell by having faith in him. Jesus was born to die so that by faith in him we could escape eternal damnation. That's good news, isn't it? Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt that we could not pay. That's awesome, isn't it? You know, by faith in Jesus Christ, you and I will go to heaven one day. By faith in Jesus, we will go to heaven one day. Let's see what John writes in 1 John 5. Let's see what John writes about eternal life. This is what he writes. He writes this, 1 John 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He who has the Son, Jesus Christ, in his life has the Zoe life of God. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, the very Zoe life of God entered you. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, at that point in the here and now on this earth, eternal life began for you. We're going to go to heaven one day. We're going to go to heaven one day. But if eternal life has begun on this earth for us by faith in Jesus, we can have a taste of heaven in the here and now. In heaven, there will be no more sickness. On this earth, you can taste of wholeness and healing. In heaven, there will be no more financial need. In this earth, you can experience a taste of financial provision. In heaven, there will be peace amongst all. In this earth, you can have a taste of a reconciled relationship. You can have a taste of heaven in this world because the Zoe life of God is on the inside of you. Say it with me tonight. Eternal life has begun for me in the here and now. I can have a taste of heaven on this earth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then Jesus said, just as the Son of God, Son of Man did not come to be served, Matthew 20, 28, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for money, for many. A ransom for many. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve those less fortunate on this earth. And it's the same way. We've got to do it. We've got to follow his example. We've been placed on this earth for what? We've been placed on this earth not to be served, but to serve and to give our lives for other people. Jesus said it. He said, I'm your example. I came to this earth to give my life as a ransom for many. And you need to imitate my example. And that's what Jesus did. When he walked this earth, when he walked the streets of Israel over 2,000 years ago, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. When Jesus walked this earth, he went about doing good. He went about serving the poor. He went about serving the sick. He brought the dead back to life. We follow him, right? We've been placed on this earth not to be served. It's not about us. But to serve other human beings. Jesus is our example. Say it with me tonight. I'm on this earth.
I'm on this earth.
Not to be served.
Not to be served.
But to give my life.
In service.
To others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Remember this, there's two things that you'll take into eternity with you. Just two things. Anybody know what that is? You'll take into eternity your relationship with Jesus Christ, the faith you have in Jesus. And number two, the other thing you'll take into eternity is the good you did for others while you lived on this earth. There's such a satisfaction, there's such a fulfillment on the inside doing good to others less fortunate than yourself. You might be thinking tonight, Jonathan, I'm in such great need myself. I live here at the shelter. They feed me here. How can I help somebody else? You know what? There's somebody out there less fortunate than you. There's somebody out there tonight sleeping under a bridge in downtown Tulsa. I'm going to read you a little illustration from the speaker's quote book. Listen to this. It's about service, serving others. Serving others. All right. An elderly widow, restricted in her activities, was eager to serve Christ. After praying about the matter, she decided that although she could do not much walking around to distribute tracts or witness, she was able to play the piano. The next day, she placed a small ad in the Oakland Tribune. Pianists will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. The service is free. The notice included the number to dial. When people called, she would immediately inquire, "What hymn would you like to hear?" Within a few months, she had played for several hundred depressed and lonely individuals. Frequently, they would pour out their hearts to her, and she was able to help and encourage them. Later, she testified, "That service became the most rewarding thing I ever did in my life." And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not on this earth by accident. You're not on this earth by mistake. You're not on this earth to just exist and take up space. God has placed you on this earth with a divine destiny and purpose. Say it with me tonight. God
has placed me
on this earth
with
a divine
destiny
and purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember nothing else tonight, remember this. You have not been placed on this earth to be served. You've been placed on this earth to serve and minister to other people less fortunate than yourself. You'll only take into eternity your relationship with Christ and the good you did for others. You might be wondering tonight, well, Jonathan, what good could I do? Do you know of a person in the hospital or at a nursing home? Think of somebody. Maybe in some hospital, some medical setting, some nursing home that you know somebody. Take an hour out next week and visit that person. Maybe it's a person in prison. Take an hour out and visit that lonely and depressed person. That's serving others. Maybe somebody who's just plain lonely, hasn't had contact with another person for a long time, and they're lonely and they're depressed, they're sad. Take some time out of your schedule and reach out to that person. Maybe it's a person that hasn't heard a good word over them for a long time. Guess what? God has blessed you with the gift of a mouth, a tongue. You can speak kind words. You can say, you know what? God loves you and I believe in you. Those few words could change a person's life. Maybe it's somebody living under the bridge here in downtown Tulsa who's pretty hungry, hasn't eaten in a while. Find that person, bring them lunch, bring them coffee. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
It might be a single mother who doesn't have food to feed her children and you've got some extra finances. Buy her a week's worth of groceries. Remember, everything you do for others is being recorded in heaven. Every good thing you do for others is being recorded by God in heaven. He will reward you one day. He will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. How many want to hear God say that to them? Amen?
Amen.
Speaking encouraging words. Maybe God has called you to be a missionary to some part of Tulsa. Maybe to another city. Maybe to another state. Maybe to another country. Don't rule it out. Nothing is impossible with God. God may be calling you to a specific people group in a certain city, a certain state, or maybe out of country. If God is speaking to you, He will provide for you. Don't be afraid. Take the step of faith. Maybe God is calling you to share His gospel. It may not be in front of people, but maybe He's calling you to share His gospel one-on-one with somebody else, verbally. Find that person in downtown Tulsa, on a street corner, under a bridge, at the Quick Trip, wherever it might be, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with that person. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Amen? You know, when you do good to others, you're touching the heart of God. When you do good to others less fortunate than you, you're doing it for Jesus Himself.
Amen.
And the opposite is also true. When you hurt somebody else, when you talk down on somebody else, you're hurting the heart of God. You're doing it to Jesus. I want to be ministering to the heart of God. I want to be ministering to Jesus in human flesh. How about you?
Yeah,
all right. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And He was telling us in Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28, that we ought to do the same. Amen?
Amen.